Morning, Village Church. Short and sweet, huh? I'm Adam, one of the pastors here at the Village. Good to be with you this morning. I got to tell you, as we kind of spent a couple days or a couple weeks, I guess, focusing on Thanksgiving this season because of the way the calendar has shaken out, I want to let you know my heart's full this morning, very, very full, because Team 4 won the Mushball Tournament last night, and that would be my team, Team 4. First annual Village Church Mushball team. My heart is overflowing with thanks to God. And so I actually want to begin the way all special athletes begin, and that's by thanking God for the ability that He gave me to hit a very, very large ball, and sometimes pretty hard with a metal bat. I'm really grateful for that. So thank you, Lord, for that. I want to thank my manager Josh Munch. He had a lot of confidence in me in the game that was going to decide the playoff berth or not. He put me number 6 in the batting order. He told me it was because he wanted to give me a shot to win the game, and I believed him. So I want to thank my manager, Josh, and my teammates, because if you were there last night, you know that my teammates actually endured some controversy. There were a lot of things against us. The refs were against us. The umps were against us. Some of the organizers of the event actually were against my manager, and if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. But you know, God watches over those who are righteous, and so just everything worked out the way that it was supposed to. And I thought I was going to have a trophy, but there's no trophy for the winners of. But Team 4, this is us. So yeah. And there we are. There's my son Luke. He was our star player, I think. So anyway, when I decided to do this, I wondered how am I going to make the transition from this to the sermon. I'm going to do it like this. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm one of the pastors at the Village Church, and we're going to get into Thanksgiving this morning. And we've heard already, and we've seen some words of thanks. Maybe you caught the video. It was from Psalm 118. Maybe you're familiar with the Psalms, and you know Psalm 118. You know it's a great psalm of thanks, actually. We've heard some words from Psalm 105, five simple verses. And I think oftentimes the place where we go as people when we are thankful is we go to the Psalms. And it is a good place to go. It's actually a typical place to go for God's people. The word thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned 55 times in the book of Psalms. And you can see other related words that are mentioned many, many more times. But thanksgiving is one of the themes of the book of Psalms. And so we go there a lot. Thanksgiving is also one of the categories of the Psalms. And maybe you've studied the Psalms before and you know this, and different people break up the categories different ways, but some people break up the Psalms in these three categories. One of the categories is hymns. And hymns are really Psalms of orientation. These are the hymns that orient us toward God. They help us to see Him and focus on Him. They help us to see His character. They help us to see His attributes. They help us to focus on Him and who He is and the things that He has done. Those are hymns. The Bible also has laments, and I know many of you this season and this year have gone through some difficult seasons and difficult times and hard circumstances, and maybe you open up the book of Psalms and you head to the laments, and this is where we typically go, and the Psalms of laments are Psalms of disorientation, right? So we've got it oriented toward God and His character and who He is and the things that He does and the things that He's done for us. But then we live life and we see things and we get a little bit disoriented. The psalmist knew that, and so he wrote psalms of disorientation. But there's a third category of psalms, if you've studied the book of Psalms, and those are psalms of thanksgiving. And psalms of thanksgiving aren't psalms of orientation or disorientation. They're actually psalms of reorientation. And so after we've focused on God, maybe we've kind of got out into life and got into circumstances and got into places where we're kind of disoriented a bit and we need to find our way. And so the psalmist also wrote these psalms of thanksgiving, which are psalms of reorientation. They reorient us to God in all that He is and all that He's done. And doesn't this really reflect life? As I'm talking about it, maybe do you sense that this reflects how life is? We do things that are very orienting in life, right? We sit down maybe in the morning and we have our morning quiet time or devotional time and we open up our Bible and we might actually listen to some music during that, and maybe we do that beforehand. Oftentimes before I open up my Bible, I'll listen to a worship song or two that helps to open my heart to God, and I'll sit on my couch or my dad chair, you know, and I'll say to myself, you know, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. And I'll open the reading plan that we've been in, and I'll read, and I'll journal a bit, and I'll pause on a scripture, and I'll pray, and it really orients me to God. the songs orient me to him, the scripture orients me to him, that kind of centering prayer orients me to him. I'm very oriented in that moment. And if you have those moments on an ongoing basis, those are the kind of things that keep you oriented. Coming to Sunday morning keeps you oriented on who God is. And attending a community group keeps you oriented with God's people, pointing to who he is. Our women's study, studying the book of Malachi. Our men's study, coming up, studying the book of Malachi. It orients us to who God is. This is the way life with God is. We have these orienting moments. But then we get out into life, and we can find ourselves a bit disoriented. We can look at the circumstances in our lives, or maybe you turn on a particular news network channel, you know, and you see all these hard and horrible things going on in the world, and it can become very actually disorienting. But then we return to the orientation again, don't we? We return to that place in the morning when it's quiet and our Bibles are open and our hearts are open to God. We return to a Sunday morning where we celebrate these things with God's people and we reorient ourselves. We get back into God's word with a group of men or with a group of women. We meet in a home to reorient ourselves to who God is. This is part of the rhythm of life with God. And the psalmist knew this. And this is also part of the rhythm of Thanksgiving, I think, for us as people. Right, we start our year in January actually very oriented. We sit down and we think about our goals. We think about the things we want out of the coming year. We think about the things we should give attention to. And we actually spend a lot of time, some quiet time, and some time with other people trying to orient ourselves to what life's going to be like in the coming year. But then we get into the year and things might not always turn out the way we thought they would. We oriented ourselves in one way. We had goals. We had aspirations. We wanted to do certain things. And maybe we've accomplished some of those things, but some of them are sort of left undone. And maybe we can find ourselves a bit disoriented. And then we enter into this season of life during Thanksgiving and we kind of get reoriented again. Because no matter what's happened in the past this year, we come up to the place of Thanksgiving and we actually really realize it's a reorienting kind of moment that God has been extremely good and gracious to us. And God has not only given us so many things, we not only celebrate the things that God's given to us, but he's been so many things to us. We celebrate the things that God has been to us. And so this time of Thanksgiving is a very reorienting kind of time, is it not? I hope it is for you. I know it is for me. And so this morning, I think Psalm 100 is a perfect psalm for us to spend a little time in this reorientation. So as we work our way through these five quick verses, here's how this is going to go. Verses 1 and 2 are going to talk to us about how we should express our thanks to God. How we should express our thanks to God. Verse 3 is going to tell us why we should express our thanks to God. Unless we forget how, he's going to go back. And verse 4 is going to tell us again how we should express our thanks to God. And then verse 5 is going to finish up by telling us why we should express our thanks to God again. So let's begin with the first question, how? How should we express our thanks to God? Now, this is interesting that he starts with how. Maybe you've read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, and you know from him that we have this like primitive croc brain, and we only do things, you know, because of deeper urges and things like that. And maybe the psalmist assumes some of these things. The psalmist knows this stuff. Simon Sinek didn't make this stuff up. God knows this stuff. God's people know this stuff. Yeah, we begin with why generally. And it's interesting that the psalmist actually doesn't begin with why. He begins with how. And I think that the reason, or one of the reasons why he starts with the how, is that the why is so assumed, right? I think he assumes for God's people that there are so many reasons why. He can't get into them all. This is just five verses. He's going to share with us just a few reasons why we give thanks to God, but this is assumed for God's people. And in your mind right now, maybe as I even say those words, you're thinking to yourself about all of these whys, all of these reasons why you would give thanks to God. It's assumed for God's people. And so I think the psalmist gets right into it with the how. How should we express our thanks to God? Look at verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And so this morning we have the obvious that we should express our thanks to God through song. That's the how. How should we do this? We just did it together with a couple songs. We're going to do it together with five more songs. We're going to sing an extra song this morning just to celebrate God and in the spirit of Thanksgiving and the season of Thanksgiving. But we should express our thanks to God in song. Now, come into his presence with singing. Look, this might seem obvious enough to you. This is one of the main reasons that we include songs in our Sunday services. This is one of the main reasons God's people included songs in their, well, in their Sabbath services in the Old Testament. And now the New Testament church on Sundays, we include songs because God has told us he wants us to come in and sing songs to him. And there's good reason for this, isn't there? Music is the thing that sort of stirs our emotions. It stirs our affections. It either stirs those affections or it helps us express those affections, express those emotions in ways that sometimes word can't. Even words that are made to rhyme or said in certain cadences, like poetry, can kind of stir us in a certain way. But when you take those words that are kind of set to a cadence and they're kind of like poetry, but you put musical instruments behind them, that's a whole nother thing, isn't it? And so God has designed these things. God knows these things. He wants us to come into his presence with singing. Music has a way of doing this. And because of this, it's a big part of life. You can listen to a particular song and it can draw you back into a certain season of life. I mean, if I hear a Pat Benatar song, I feel like I'm in seventh grade again. You know? Any of you? No? Pat Benatar? Come on. You know? Whatever it is for you. You hear a certain song and it brings you back to that season, brings you back to that time of life. You can think about certain things. You know, music has a way of doing this. And it also has a way of doing this for God's people around the things concerning our life with God. If you haven't noticed, music is a big part of what we do here at the Village Church. We sing a couple songs in the front end. Last week we tricked you and sang three. And then we sing four songs on the back end because we really feel like we want to emphasize the responsive nature of our worship. And the music actually helps us to do that. It's a big part of what we do. I stand up here and I talk for 35 or 40 minutes. And you know that's not true. Most of the time it's like 42. But anyway. But I'm going to try to talk for 35 minutes this morning. And the band's going to play for at least that long. We're going to sing for at least that long. It's a big part of what we do. And you know, I just thought it might be appropriate, actually, because it's really quiet right now. But just can we just say thank you to Isaac and to the team? And Reagan's been leading us the last couple weeks. And can we just say, like, no, really. We thank you guys. I mean, these guys show up so early on a Sunday to practice and to get set and to do what they do. And these men and women lead us in some wonderful ways, and this is a big part of the way God wants us to worship him. And so, guys, thank you for helping us to do that, to obey God in that way. So, look, this all seems probably obvious to you. They're like, okay, this is white noise a little bit to me. This is obvious. I know what we sing. But the thing that might not be so obvious is this. Look at the word joyful noise. Look at that phrase. Make a joyful noise, all the earth. The word literally means like a glad shout. Like, think about the Old Testament times when, like, David would go out and lead the people in a big victory, and the gates of the city would open, and he would come in, and all the army would come in, and people would be cheering and roaring. You know, think about that epic movie that you have when the battle's won, and, like, the heroes come in, and everyone's just, like, going crazy, whether it's Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or whatever you like to watch. You know, when that epic moment comes, God, I mean, the people are going nuts. This is what that's talking about. It's a glad shout. It's a king kind of tiding or shouting. The best I think that we can have is what we do for celebrities or athletes. You know, like if a celebrity walked in the room, like we might all like go nuts and we might start cheering. Or when an athlete does something amazing. I can still remember, I think it was 2004, the Lakers were playing the San Antonio Spurs, and I grew up a Lakers fan, and so we were watching, we're upstairs in the bonus room in our old house, and Dean and I were watching on our own that night, and it was the night, I think it was game 5-ish or something like that, where Derek Fisher gets an inbound pass with 0.4 seconds left on the clock, and he turns, not even looking, and he makes this shot, and drains it, and wins the game, and the Lakers go on to win the series or whatever, and Dean and I jumped off of the couch, and we yelled so loud, we woke up both of our kids. It was just the two of us, and we were going nuts over what? Over a ball going into a hoop that has a net at the bottom of it, you know? It was crazy. Did you know there are Christians that actually do this? Do you know there are actually Christians that actually get this happy and this excited, and they express it, like, with their hands and their mouth and their body and shouts, and even, like, you know, I can't do that thing. I always felt like it made me less of a man, but I can't do the whole, like, you know, like, with the, no? Anyway, yeah, you know, that stuff's, like, super loud, but, like, they do that kind of thing surrounding the things of God. And there might be some churches and some places where you're like, well, I don't know. They're like hyper-charismatic, or I don't agree with their theology too much. And I like some of their songs, but I don't dabble there because their theology is kind of off, and it's not exactly what I thought. I'm saying, you watch those people worship God, and this is what they do. They come into his presence this way. And humbly, church, for all that we know about God and for all that our stream thinks that we know and how wise we are and how sharp our minds are about the nature of God, we sure don't show it sometimes in the way we respond to him. this is the way God wants us to come. And I think we're growing. We're doing a little bit better. Like, sometimes we clap at the end of a song, like, you know, like, someone starts it, you know, like a little slow clap, and we get going. I'm kind of making fun of us, but I'm, you know, but I'm including myself here. Man, we have a long way to go, and we have some room to grow, and God wants us to. He wants us to. Are you hearing me this morning? He wants us to be uninhibited in the way that we sing and worship. You know, I think oftentimes we're most uninhibited with the things that make us most happy. You know? Isn't that interesting? We're most uninhibited with the things that make us most happy. And sometimes I wonder, what does that say about the way sometimes we come into his presence? Village Church, you know, one of our distinctives is we want to be a church that delights in him. That's the first one, that we want to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples who are delighting in Jesus. And as we delight in him, we should make these glad shouts to him. You know, all the earth should. Okay, look, although we can express our thanks to God in song, and that seems pretty common, but it seems pretty compelling, okay? It should be pretty compelling. There's another kind of common, but I think also a compelling way that we can do this. We can express our thanks to God. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It is that we should express our thanks to God through service. Through service. This is one of the common ways that we do express our thanks and gratitude to people, is it not? I mean, we do this with our spouse. I got to tell you, I think Dean and I, our marriage is doing great right now. I think in this season, like, we're doing wonderful together. And I think one of the reasons is that for whatever reason, maybe it's that we've almost been married for 25 years, we're just serving each other more often without having to be asked. Does that make sense? So just serving one another in ways, and I see her serving me in a way, and then it kind of makes me internally want to serve her in that way. And that's just a natural thing. This is what we do as people, like with our spouse and our marriage. And I want to say that it hasn't always been that way. It is that way today by God's grace. I thank God for that. But this is one of the ways that we can serve God and we can serve other people, expressing our thanks to them through service. We do this with our friends. Your friend does something nice for you, and you kind of feel this internal sort of obligation a little bit, right, to do something back, to serve them back in some way. But it's not just like an internal obligation. It's also a desire. You want to return the favor. A friend buys you lunch one day. You're going to buy them lunch the next day. They serve you in a particular way. You want to serve them in a particular way. And look, this also happens in business. This also happens in business, in work. Someone in your work or someone that's in another firm does something for you that's a little bit outside or beyond the scope of the work. They kind of go the extra mile, and you're in this kind of fiduciary relationship, and you want to actually go the extra mile for them. Service is a typical way that we express our thanks to people, spouses, friends, coworkers, colleagues, clients, all of that sort of thing. What about to God? What about to God? I mean, service recognizes that someone has sacrificed for you in some particular way, and it makes you want to sacrifice and serve them in a similar kind of way. Right? With gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness in a glad-hearted way. It makes you do this in a way that's done out of delight, not of duty. Look, if I were to go to serve Dean or she were to serve me out of pure duty, is that really the greatest thing in the world? No, it gets the job done. And maybe a little bit of that duty helps cultivate some of that delight eventually. Maybe after 25 years, that's a little bit about what's going on. But this is done from a place of delight, not just duty. It's not an obligation. It's a great opportunity to serve someone else, serve the Lord with gladness. And I think this idea of gladness is one of the things that distinguishes service from a job or that obligation. In the New Testament, do you see sometimes service mentioned, but you also see slavery mentioned? This idea that we are slaves to God, or that we are slaves to righteousness. And you might wonder, well, what is it? Are we sons and daughters? Are we slaves? Do we serve God? Or we just work for him because we have to? I think there is this reality that we do serve God as slaves, in the sense that we're obligated to serve him because he's the creator and we're the created ones. But oftentimes when the Bible talks about this idea of being a slave to God or slave to righteousness, it's this bondservant word. It's this bondservant idea. This idea that there were people that were at one time obligated to serve their masters, but they're free from that actually now. And in their freedom, they actually now choose to serve their master. It's a choice now, out of affection, out of love, out of care, because their masters had apparently cared for them so well that now they want to serve their masters in return, out of their freedom. And this is the idea. that service is distinguished from slavery by joy. This person, this bondservant, is not a slave anymore. They're a servant, and they serve out of joy. And this is one of the ways we express our thanks to God. A couple of practical handholds for this at the Village Church. You and I both know that the Village kids always need volunteers. It's because we have a lot of kids, okay? And you go in for a season, you might come out for a season, but maybe you have your kids in Village Kids and you've never actually served in Village Kids. You're really grateful that you come on a Sunday and you get to sit and people take care of your kids and they even teach them a Bible lesson and care for them well and, you know, all of those things, but maybe you've never find yourself serving there. And we thought to ourselves before, I wonder if it would be a good idea to make that sort of a requirement. Like if you have kids that you like, you put your kid in and then you like just, even if it's like just twice a year, four times a year, you're kind of in there to volunteer in some kind of way. And we decided, no, we don't need to do that. You know, God's people would respond to him just in whatever way. Like if your kids have been served well there, maybe you should approach Josh or something like that and Lauren. And it'd be a great opportunity just to serve in return. Think about hospitality and Caitlin and her team and what a great job they've done in these last couple of years as we've done our block parties and we've emphasized these things and we've been having, you know, better food and better times together, and it's just all like it's all coming together and you've enjoyed so much of that. Maybe it'd be a great opportunity to knock on kind of her door, give her a call or send her a text and say, hey, Caitlin, maybe I could help be part of that hospitality team. Church has given so you've given so much to me. You know, and to us, I want to return the favor a little bit. I know the setup teardown guys, man. Those guys are the unsung heroes. They're here early and they stay late, and there's a lot that happened. Maybe you're really grateful. You come to the next event, you're like, oh, I'm so grateful. This event was so wonderful. Last night, I think David Hughes did a great job organizing this event for our men, the mushball thing. And I don't know what setup happened, what that looked like, because I was at the skate park with Luke, because it was just down the street. We got a little twofer, skateboarding and mushball. But I know what the teardown looked like, because I was there, and there were guys who were like, hey, what can we do? And I think they had just experienced this wonderful evening together, and they were so ready just to say, how do we help, and how do we get this stuff cleaned up quickly, and how do we all pitch in? Because there's gratitude that flows out. Last week, we met with our Connect team back here, and we just thought, you know, there's so many people that have expressed that they think that the Village Church is a very welcoming community, and yet we want to do a better job with that. And to do a better job with that, we want to have Connect team members out front. We want to have some with the kids and some in the hub, and we want to make sure if you're a guest this morning, you feel really welcome here. And so if you've come to the Village Church and you felt like you've been really welcomed in and included really well, like, we would love for you to be invited into the Connect ministry. Am I making sense this morning? These things that we experience, we're really grateful for. It'd be a great opportunity to come in and show thanks to God by serving God in those ways too. So that's a little bit about the how. How about the why? Why should we express our thanks to God? Look at verse 3 with me. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I think this reminds us that we should express our thanks to God for his sovereignty. We should express our thanks to God for his sovereignty. Look at me. Verse 3, 5 times in one verse, we see the word him or he rather or his. 5 times in one verse. I think this tells us something. It tells us that our focus is on God and who he is. And it's on him and his sovereignty. It's all about him. It is he who made us, not we ourselves, right? And we are his. We are not our own. This focus on God's sovereignty, we should express our thanks to God for his sovereignty. It's interesting that the word God here is the word Elohim, which is sort of a plural word that reminds us about Genesis 1. And I think if we combine that with this idea that is he who made us and we are his, he who made us, if we combine the word for God used and this idea that he who made us, I think it's actually taking us back to Genesis 1. To talk to us a little bit about the why we should worship God. I think it's pretty clear. And in Genesis 1, we see that in his sovereignty, in God's sovereignty, he created us for three things. Three things kind of broadly, I guess it would be, is the right word. Relationships, good work, and rest. Relationships, good work, and rest. These are the things that God created us for. And so when we wonder, well, why should we praise God? We know maybe how we should do this, but why should we praise him with loud shouts? And why should we praise him with lifting our hands and words of thanks? And why should we praise him and thank him with returning service to him? And because he's done so many things for us. Why? Because he's given us relationship, he's given us good work, and he's given us rest. These are the rhythms of Genesis chapter 1. And if you think about it, as you come into Thanksgiving, maybe these are things that you're really grateful for. You're grateful for your relationships, and this makes sense because this is what God created you for. A while back, I read this book called The Relational Soul by one of my mentors, Rich Plass, and there's a couple in our church. Johnny and Brittany are reading it right now, and we went to dinner the other night, and we talked a little bit about it. But in his book, Relational Soul, you know, he talks all about this. And but we hosted a pastor's gathering for 25 pastors and their wives from our network, and it was in this room over the last couple of years, and we went over a bunch of their curriculum from the relational soul. And every time we'd ask, he'd ask a question, someone would give an answer, and he'd pause and he'd say, no, remember the answer is relationship. It's kind of like your kids up in children's ministry. If you've taught in there, you know, you ask the kids a question, and they think the answer is always what? Jesus. It's always Jesus, you know? And we joke about that, but in the end of the day, the answer is always Jesus. And for these guys, Rich and Jim, and as they wrote their book, that they always come back. No, the idea is the answer is always relationship. It's always connected relationship. And maybe God's given you some great relationships. Maybe you're in a season where actually struggling in some of those relationships and you're desiring those. We understand that. We prayed for those things for our kids over the last few years. And I got to tell you, this weekend, our hearts are just overflowing with joy because we've had all these college kids in our house Friday and Saturday night, and they're all spending the night, and I'm making them breakfast, and they're all hanging out with our family, and we're just having such a great time. And God's answered our prayer by giving our kids like-minded friends in this season of life. You know how important those relationships are. And God's also given us good work. And I want to tell you that all work is good work in one way, shape, or form, because it's what God uses to show his goodness to people. Last Sunday, as I asked you guys just to sort of shout out at the end of service the things you're thankful for, there was a guy sitting right here that said, I'm grateful for my work. And do you know what his work is? I think he's like an entry-level position at Chick-fil-A. He's really grateful for his work. And I think he's grateful for his colleagues. I think he's grateful for the opportunity to earn money from what I know of him. I think he's grateful for the atmosphere that he works in. He's grateful for coworkers who would invite him to church. But he's grateful for his work and all the things that come along with it. And this morning, I want you to pause for a moment and just think about your work, the work that you do, and the good parts of your work, and how your work might bring about the good for someone else. And for this guy right here, I don't know, maybe it's a really hot Chick-fil-A sandwich, you know, that my son is going to enjoy on the way to Etney Skate Park. And I got to tell you, when he's happy, I'm happy. It brings me a lot of joy. And I don't know if that's going too far, connecting the dots, but those connect for me. There is good work to be done. God has given us good work to do. And God's given us rest. And we get to rest from our work, and God's good to give us that. And we get to rest for our work, and God's good to give us that too. And so as you enter into the season of Thanksgiving, and maybe you take a few extra days off work, maybe you go visit your family, maybe work kind of gets out of sight and out of mind for a little while, maybe you just get to exhale a little bit and you get to rest and be with people you love, you get to share your relationships, you get to think about how God's provided for you through your work, and you get to rest. And this is all the goodness and the grace of God. And it's all connected to the way that he's created us. Are you with me this morning? These are good things. Village Church, these are common things, but these are good things. Let's not miss these things in this Thanksgiving season. Look, the psalmist, he knows that we've talked about how and we've talked about why, but he knows we need to get back to the how. So he takes us back there again. Look at verse 4. How should we express our thanks to God? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And I think what we see here is that we should express our thanks to God with self-assurance. And look, the other five words were all S words, and I was compelled, I had to, and so I put self-assurance. And for those of you who like are wondering, and you're like, is this a self-help hack? I'm just talking about confidence, but I wanted an S word. I know it's hyphenated. There it is, okay? You get it? We should express our thanks to God with self-assurance or with confidence. You guys see the picture here, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I know for me, oftentimes when I read this, and I've been a Christian a long time, but oftentimes when I read this, my thoughts go immediately to entering the gates of heaven, right? in entering the courts of heaven. And yes, oh yes, I'm going to enter the gates of heaven with thanksgiving, and I'm going to enter the courts of heaven with praise. And I think maybe he sees that here, but I think what he really sees is the gates of the city of Jerusalem. And he really sees the courts of the temple, which are a kind of picture to us about, you know, what God's presence is going to be like manifested to us in heaven. I think it's a picture to us of how we enter into God's presence through the gates. These pictures of the courts, this increasing access and closeness to the presence of God, ending in the most holy place where once a year the priest would go in. He alone had the access, but that most intimate access to God. But that he could go in with confidence. And now the book of Hebrews tells us that actually we can now enter in with confidence. We can enter in with the same kind of confidence that he would have, because Jesus has entered in once and for all for us. And so we don't have to just rely on a priest or one person who gets to enter in. We now get to enter into his presence. We get to go before him in this way. We get to go in front of him in this way, into the innermost court, because the innermost court is now open to all the people of God because of what God has done for us through Christ. And he's opened up for us a way not only just to enter the gates and to hang out sort of in the outer courtyard, but to go into the next and to the next and then to the last and then the one after that. To go in and to be as close to God as we can possibly be. We can express our thanks to God with this kind of confidence, and we can enter into his presence with confidence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. This thanksgiving word literally means confession or praise or thanksgiving, like we're confessing with our words our thanks to God. It can literally be translated an extension of the hand. An extension of the hand. And there's maybe a couple of meanings here, that God has extended something to us and now we extend our thanks to him. Sometimes you might wonder, why do people lift their hands when they worship God? And sometimes these words in the Bible, they actually give us an idea of why we do this. There's a physical manifestation that we're actually so grateful, so thankful for all that he's done, that we enter into his presence in his courts with thanksgiving. And we literally lift our hands because there's nothing else that we can help to do. We put our hands out toward God to say thank you, as if to bless him. And that's what it says, to thank him, to praise him with song. That means words of the songs. The word praise literally means song. It's the words that we sing. Now, I don't know, last week Reagan did this, and it was so helpful that as he stood back here and we were singing a particular song, he grabbed the sheet from the music stand and he read a few of the words to us. And I got to tell you, when I sung that song, I focused in more on those words and I thought about the words that I was singing. Do you guys remember the morning where after church, Sarah Graves came to me and she said, hey, I think God wants to tell our church something. And you remember the morning I had her come up here and she told us that sometimes I feel like, you know, the musicians are great and I love them, but sometimes it might distract us from the actual words. And she said, you know, I think God wants us to sing this song with just the words. You remember that? Yeah. And we sang it with just the words and she led us in it. You remember what a beautiful moment that was? Yeah. Amazing Grace was the song. And I bet you next time that you sang Amazing Grace, you thought about that moment. And I bet you focused a little bit more on the words. And this is part of that idea. So Village Church, we're going to sing 5 songs this morning. And I want to ask you to focus on the words. And then maybe songs that you sing all the time. But hone in on the things that are actually here. And praise God with the meaning of those words. Thank him. It literally means to throw out praise to God and bless him. It means to salute or to kneel. That in the midst of this celebration, in the midst of just throwing out thanks to God, there is a hint of reverence here. And so we walk in that tension of just throwing out our thanks to God and raising our hands and maybe even doing that whistle thing with our you know, 2 fingers and clapping and thanking and even saying something out loud to God to bless him. And there's that tension of the kneeling before him and the reverence that comes along with it. How should we do this? In that tension. But the psalmist doesn't end on the how. He actually ends with the why. Why we should express our thanks to God. Look at verse 4. Or I guess that's verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. His goodness. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. His goodness sums up the reasons. And at the end of the day, Village Church, here's what I want to tell you. His goodness is the reason. That's what the psalmist is trying to get across to us. It is the reason. The goodness of God is the reason why we thank him. It is the reason why we bless him. It is the reason why we express our gratitude to him. There are all kinds of reasons, but his goodness is the reason. It's the one that sums up all of the reasons. His steadfast love and his loving kindness or his mercy. And the goodness of God is always couched in, it's always centered around, it's always connected to the mercy of God, because the mercy of God allows us to experience any good thing. Any good and common gift that God, that people in general experience from God's common grace is all because of God's mercy. And every good or uncommon gift that God's people experience because of his uncommon grace, salvation, sanctification, adoption as sons and daughters, all of these things we experience because the goodness and the mercy of God is all connected to this idea of his steadfast love, his loving kindness, his mercy. And his faithfulness, his firmness, his fidelity to every generation. There's a song I've been singing. It's become one of my favorites. Eventually we'll sing it together, I think, here at the Village Church. It's kind of weird the way that works out. Sometimes if I like a song, it gets sung on a Sunday morning. I know a guy, you know? It's called The Goodness of God, and the chorus says, "All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I breathe, I will sing of the goodness of God." And I almost can't help but even say those words to you without getting a little choked up. I love the song because as I've been thinking about God's faithfulness to all generations, I've been seeing my son grow up. I've been seeing my children go off to college and God's faithfulness to them in so many ways. I've been able to look back at the lives of my parents and God's continued faithfulness to them. I get to think about all of God's faithfulness to the generations. And I got to tell you, one of the beautiful things about being a pastor at the Village Church for over a decade now is seeing your families grow. You guys now are married and you have one or two or three children, you know, and you're growing and your families are growing and your job and your career and your outreach and your opportunities and you're sharing Christ with other people and you're growing in your life and your sanctification and your Christ-likeness and you're looking more and more like Jesus. And it's a really beautiful thing to see that happen from generation to generation. You know, last night at our mushball game, you know, one of the things that a lot of the guys were saying to me was, "Hey, I'm so glad some of the college students joined us." And you see another generation of young men that are eager to learn about Christ and eager to be mentored and developed and want to follow him closely, just generation after generation. Why should we express our thanks to God? His steadfast love. Village Church, he is good. He has been good. He will be good. And this morning we thank him for his goodness. And that relates to our good news this morning. It's this, is that we have good reason to be thankful to God because of the good he has done for us through Jesus. He has established for us this way in to his presence, given us access to himself. He's given us a steadfast love that endures anything and into all generations. He's given us much reason to sing and to holler and to hoot and to whistle and to shout out and to clap and to sing loudly and to express our joy with our bodies and not just with our lips. And he's done so much for us. We have good reason to be thankful to God because of the good that he has done for us through Jesus. Would you pray with me? Jesus, when we say that you have been good, it doesn't seem enough. That word, four letters, so short, it just seems we could go on and on and on, and yet your goodness is something that we could go on and on and on about. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your goodness to our children. We thank you for your goodness to our children's children from generation to generation. We thank you for being good to the generations before us, and we thank you for being good to the generations after us. And this morning we pause and we just want to say that any thanks that comes out of the singing from our lips, any thanks that comes as we remember you through communion, any thanks that wells up in giving generously to you, any thanks that comes and our response, any service that comes in response to it, Lord, any song that is sung, any way that our life is lived, it's lived because we pause here in the moment and we recognize your goodness to us. And because of your goodness, Lord, we well up with songs of thanks, with prayers of thanks, with lives of thanks. We are thankful. We thank you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.